Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Shift. I hope you had a lovely week. And this week's guest is Margot Rees. She shared her experience transitioning with me. She answered a lot of questions about gender and surgery and dating stories. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. She was absolutely amazing and super open. And we have a really interesting and fun conversation. So as usual, if you want to see the video is on the Patreon. So Patreon.com/theshiftpodcast, pay what you want. There's solo episodes up there. There's stand up work in progress clips up there. And that's really it. There's the videos for all the other episodes as well, and the episodes come out a week early. Also, next week's episode, we're going to be talking about therapy. So if you have any therapy stories, good or bad, if you want to DM me at Katie Boyle Comic or email contact the shift, or even just in general, if you have any stories or, you know, dating stories or advice you need, email and I can run it by the guests. But other than that, I'm going to start this episode. And please follow Margot on everything. And I'll talk to you at the end.
You sound like shit.
I know.
You're still sick?
Yeah. I went to the doctor and I have like low blood platelets and my immune is shite. So I just have to, I think everybody's going to have like similar stuff though, just because we spent so long with like masks and out of like germs and stuff that now.
Maybe this is just like a natural selection thing where we're culling the weak.
Okay, well, bye.
Bye. Sorry. Good knowing you, Katie.
How are you today?
I'm well. I was out late last night. I kind of got in much later than I'd like to. Woke up. I'm doing fine. How are you doing? I haven't done shit.
That's great. I just woke up before and I'm sweating as well because I can't put aircon on while we do this.
Makes sense.
But we won't do this for long. It'll just be like 45 minutes to an hour. The podcast is basically like a sex positive dating relationship anti-shame podcast. Is there anything you're not comfortable talking about?
Oh hell no, I'm pretty open right now. Ask whatever.
Because we did have a listener and they messaged in saying they would love to hear from someone who had transitioned. So are you okay talking about that?
Of course. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of why I get brought on a podcast anyway. I just as like, oh, from the trans perspective. But yeah, sure, not a problem.
I actually got a great question from a listener though, which is just what you said right there. So I'll just ask you that question first because I got a few questions. And the question was, one thing I'm really curious about, I want to make sure I read this right. One thing I'm really curious about is how as a trans performer or even just as a queer performer, you keep gender from being the only thing people want to discuss. Do you feel like other parts of your, other parts of your identity are obscured that other parts you would like to talk about? So that's basically.
I guess. I mean, yeah, sure. Absolutely. Especially because like, I don't consider myself done with this whole going from one to the other side thing. So it's like very much a focus and prevalence on my life. Like I'm getting bottom surgery in fucking May. Like that is huge. And I'm kind of dealing with that. I've got like senioritis with my dick where I'm using it a whole much more than I'm comfortable with, but it's like, you know what, let's get the last hurrahs in. But no, definitely. That's like the thing that makes me special, even though I don't even think it makes me special, but it's what people want to talk about. Cause you know, you can't really, you know, I think transness, there's only like the population of it is like 0.3% of the population, so it's like a pretty small minority, whereas like queer people in general is like 3% of the population. So I understand it's going to be a token point. Plus, anything that I do is going to definitely be through that lens or filter of like being trans. But for the most part, it's, I don't know, everyone's experience is different, to be honest. Like, you know, talk to someone when they just started transitioning at what point versus me, you know, versus some other person. Everyone deals with it differently. It's not a homogenous experience all around. But I've definitely found that, you know, people, that's all people want to talk about these days, which is fine, because that's all I'm really going through these days. So it makes sense. But as far as like my personality, shit, I don't even feel like talking about that much else anyway these days. Like, I have no opinion on, you know, social commentary or like whatever the fuck people are watching on YouTube these days. Like, my mind's just not there. It's literally just focused on surgery and having fun while I still can.
Yeah. When did you start to transition?
Okay. So I have been medically at this since 2012. So I'm about to hit 9 years at this, like since like taking hormones and shit. I've only been out socially for like maybe 3.5 years. So it's a different kind of time frame. Like I did 5 years of hormone replacement therapy, like on a low dose level, just like going about it, you know, completely, you know, anonymously, which is not, I don't think I've ever heard of anyone doing it that long, but like, yeah, I did hormones for like 5 years before I went to like, okay, a real doctor who was like prescribing me and monitoring my blood levels and stuff like that, and giving me like a real prescription. So, yeah, whatever time frame you want to start accounting for, but like, I just say 9 years at this point.
And when you started taking the hormones, did you notice a difference straight away? Like, I read this thing online that a lot of people already feel much more relaxed once they start the process.
Hell yeah. It's just nice to have like the correct brain chemistry for once in your life. Like, I remember, you know, being like 15 and like just starting to really go through like the first puberty I went to, like when, you know, testosterone is through my body and just being like enraged all the time. Like, I used to put holes in the drywall of my bedroom because it was like that bad. And I didn't understand why everything like felt fucking off. But no, once I started like actually taking like hormones and like having estrogen and like in my bloodstream and testosterone down, I felt so much better. I felt so much clearer.
That's, yeah. And so then when did you decide to do the operation? Or how, I don't even have a clue how many, so you're still doing operations?
Mm-hmm. I've had several. Like, I had reconstructive surgery on my face, had my tits done last year. I've done some other stuff, had my Adam's apple removed, but I'm going full Monty, and, you know, having bottom surgery. That process, like, I'm going to a top shelf doctor in New York. And so it's like, there's a good wait period, and COVID fucked a lot of that up. So by the time I am like healed enough to have sex, which is like about 3 months post-op, the whole process would have taken 3 years from when I initially called in to schedule a consultation to being healed enough to like get fucked in my pussy. Like, it'll be a 3-year long journey, which is a little on the long side. I don't really resent it because, you know, it's a big fucking deal to go through it. It is massive reconstructive. Well, not like massive. It's huge reconstructive surgery. It's not like something you just like dabble into. And I knew it was going to be something I would definitely consider the further I went along in my journey. So I just kind of got the ball rolling, even though at the time when I called in, if you said, oh yeah, we could do it tomorrow, I would still say, I would have said no at that point. But I knew like, okay, after like maybe a year or two, I'll come around to it. And I was exactly right. It's just weird trying to predict your feelings like in the future as you go forward. But yeah, no.
But I guess it gives you that time to make sure like, oh, I still want this. I still want to do it.
Oh, sure. I mean, I know girls who are like, oh, 1,000%. I know what I want. I'm done. I'm ready. Let's go. And they'll get it done in like, you know, again, times vary, doctors vary, but like in relatively short amount of times. I know my experience is going to be, is a little on the longer side.
Yeah. And so then that procedure is, and you said a couple of months?
It's in 9 months.
In 9 months. Wow. That's really exciting.
Yeah. So, May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, you know, my taco day. It's going to be pretty wild.
Yeah. And do you have any advice for anybody who's deciding to transition?
I hope to Christ you are independent enough and strong enough to pull it along. I mean, like, it really depends on who I'm asking, but like, as a general rule, I mean, congratulations, this is it. You found out what the hell you is wrong with you the whole life. And like, this is the answer. I'm sorry, but this is the answer. It sucks, but it's also probably the best thing you will ever do for yourself.
Yeah. I read online, and I don't know what it's like in Ireland, but in America, they say you have to also see a therapist while you're doing it. Is that true?
Well, I mean, it's probably in your best interest to. I know for the surgery, you do need 3 letters of, at least I think the insurance companies require this, as far as like individual hospitals, that might be a little bit different, but like, I know the insurance company that I go to or am a member of, they will only sign off on that procedure if you have 3 letters of support, 2 from mental health providers and 1 from your primary care doctor or an endocrinologist, like someone who's not focused on mental health. So 1 of those doctors and 2 mental health providers, which is fine because I take, you know, psychiatric meds anyway. You know, I'm on Adderall. You need to go to a psychiatrist. A therapist can't just prescribe that shit to you. So, you know, if they know I'm trans, they'll write a letter for me. There's like forms and stuff that you can fill out, like real line by line kind of things. It's like, I know this patient for this long. They're clearly, you know, experiencing this in my professional opinion, da 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 da, sign. Like, it's very, you know, standardized kind of stuff.
Yeah. And did it take you long to get your passport or your ID and everything sorted?
My passport expired. I still got to go through that jump. I had so I'm lucky that, you know, I live in New York City and I was born in Los Angeles. So like California and New York, very cool places to be trans. As opposed to like, if my little cousin or no, my niece, if she came out as trans or something like that, she was born in Alabama. I can't imagine having to go through their system, but updating my name and my driver's license, legal marker, stuff like that on my driver's license in New York, that was, you know, like maybe a month or two. And a lot of it was just back and forth waiting because you're going through like a process, with a bureaucratic process, just a lot of red tape, little hoops to jump through. It's all whatever, as long as you have all the right documentation. Updating my birth certificate, I just sent in a couple of forms to the state of California and then they sent it back. That was like so painless. But I had already updated my driver's license before I updated my birth certificate and social security card.
Yeah, because I know in Ireland, it's very easy to get it done. Something like in 2015, I think I'm right now, but it was like they made a law where they said, if you want to change your gender, that's fine. You just write in and you can do it. It was pretty easy. I know that it's different in England. I think it's a much more harder process.
Yeah. I mean, it's different everywhere. It's so funny how some people think of it as like this big, like, what the fuck are you doing with your life versus other places where it's like, okay, of course, it's no big deal. It doesn't change society in any way. You're fine.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to see other people's reaction and opinions about it. But, you know, I live in New York. It's a bubble here. I really got to get out just to see how, like, I don't know, Ohio would take, you know, someone like me or someone that looked like me or talked like me. It'd be interesting to see.
Well, that's what I love about New York. I never understood how people have opinions about what other people want to do, you know, especially like even just things like religion or whatever. So yeah, New York's like, just be you, which is great.
Yeah, I know. They don't get, like, New York as a whole doesn't give a fuck about anyone because like there's so many people here. No one is important unless you have like all the money in the world. No one gives a shit about you. It's great. I love it. It's
lovely. You just cry on the subway and no one bothers you.
No one. It's the best.
Okay. I had another question. Mm-hmm. And they said, do you ever get upset when the incorrect pronouns are used? And would you say it's a pet peeve, specifically during transition and pronouns aren't made known?
It was definitely something that bugged me earlier on in my transition because it was like a sense of validation and people are like seeing me for, you know, who I am, even though like I might not at that stage telegraph that with my appearance. I'm much further along in my progression. I rarely get misgendered. And when I do, it's by someone who's like intentionally trying to fuck with me. And at that point, I don't care. Like, it doesn't Yeah, they're just, they'll say anything. And of course, they're going to go for that angle. It doesn't bother me. I'm much more secure in my own skin and identity and all that than I was previously. So right now, like I said, I couldn't care less. But definitely at the beginning of my transition, when I was like just starting to, and I was much more insecure, it was a big deal.
Yeah. So would you say then that's the benefits of the surgery? Because now you don't have to deal with that as much?
Yeah, but that is a bonus. That's a side benefit. Like how the world perceives me and how I'm, you know, received in the world, that's important, but it's only 99 out of 100 important. The thing that takes precedence over that is just being comfortable in my own skin, regardless of what the world fucking says. And that will always be more important than, you know, getting gendered correctly or anything like that. As long as I'm comfortable for the first time, that's all I fucking care about. But yeah, the other stuff, of course, it's hugely important. I'm not gonna say that, but it does take us back seat.
And did you find your family and friends supportive while you were going through this process?
Ridiculously. Oh. Honestly. And I don't think I've ever heard of anyone having my experience, because no one gave a shit. You didn't give a shit. You knew me before I transitioned. No one gave a crap. No one in my family, none of my best close friends, especially like my guy friends, like my boys who I've known since high school. I know one guy since college who I've been in love with. No one fucking cared. It was great. It's unusual, but no one cared. At all. No one in comedy, no one at my work, no one in family, none of my friends.
Yeah, that's great. I don't understand why anyone would ever care about what anybody wants to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, but no, that's wonderful to hear. And I think, I hope for anybody listening that I hope that their friends and family will be supportive as well. But
yeah, I hope so too, because it makes all the difference. It really does. I've always had people I could at least call and talk to if I needed to. But you know, I know some people aren't that lucky.
And how do you find with dating? What has been your experience?
Okay. So
I know you post a lot. Say
this. Yeah, that's a lot. This is like most of my act. Anyway. So even before transitioning, like I've fucked, you know, like I was a guy, I've had sex with women. I had sex with men because I was living as a gay guy. Now I'm a trans woman. I've had sex with men. I've had sex with women. Here's the thing with me in particular. I have always been seen as a novelty. I've always been a rebound. I've always been like the, oh, what's that? You know, fresh adventure, just by virtue of the nature that I'm tall, I'm 6'2" and, you know, striking in different ways. But I've never, ever been in a serious relationship. So that's all I'm really used to in my entire life. I'm almost 35, for Christ's sake. That's all I'm used to. So since I've transitioned and, like, you know, I think I'm hot, I'm pretty sure a lot of other guys would agree. It's just the same trend, but amped up to a crazy, crazy fucking level, to the point where people are like on dating sites just specifically hitting me up for sex. Like, that's it. But I think that's the case for a lot of people on Tinder. But no, it's hard to find anyone who will openly date a trans woman, in the sense where it's like, oh yeah, I'm going to like spend platonic time with you and like hang out and introduce you to my circle of friends. Like, that's what I think of when I think of dating. There's mm-hmm. dating, being in a relationship, then there's like going on a date and fucking someone. Like, that's, I consider those to be two different things, whereas like dating implies a much more exclusivity and closeness, whereas what I'm used to and accustomed to.
And do you want that? Do you want a relationship?
I think it would be nice. I think there's a lot of you know, romanticized benefits, and I would love to have like a partner that I was like deeply in love with. But you know, on a very, you know, autistic kind of rational level, I know that, you know, the early stages of dating, when you're like really passionately in love with someone, are fleeting. You know, when you're looking for a partner that you want to marry and get together, you're looking for like long-term compatibility. And you know, all relationships require work. So even if I was looking for someone to like date exclusively, I know it's like work needs to be involved to maintain a relationship. So I'm not really focused on you know, finding a partner like that, because I'm kind of just focused on myself and being okay, even, you know, being fine with just being me. Like, I don't need someone else to feel completed. You know, like I heard this in a movie once where it's like, you know, people think the worst thing in the world is to wind up all alone, and it isn't. It's to be surrounded by people who make you feel alone. And I really kind of took that to heart where, you know, that's fine. If I'm alone, I'm alone. As long as I like myself, that's hell. That's everything.
Yeah. And dating in New York City is a fucking nightmare anyway.
Oh, so. Yeah. But also, like, flip side, would you rather be dating in some place like Akron, Ohio, or fucking, you know, the middle of buttfuck nowhere, Idaho? I mean, New York, yeah, it's a shit show, but at least there's a lot of people and it cycles out, and that's, you know, true.
You're probably, yeah, just settling in other places.
Exactly. Like, I can't imagine being in like fucking Orlando and trying to date there or some shit like that. It's just, no, New York, it sucks, but I think it's pretty good.
And have you found, have you had any horror stories from dating in New York specifically?
Horror stories? None personally. I'm trying to think, because I have a lot of friends, especially, you know, like most of my friends these days are just like trans women. And like specifically, I know, like, okay, let me ask you this. This is tangential. I'll get back to your question. But like, let me ask you this. What would you consider to be a high amount of sexual partners in a lifetime? Like, what's high? Like, once you hit a certain point, you're like, that's a lot of people you fucked in one lifetime.
I had a friend and they were at like 500. And I was like, okay, oh, that's a lot.
That is a lot. I have at least three friends who are in the thousands.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm like compulsive fuckers, and they get into like, cause I think I've fuck a lot more than like the comics that we both know mutually. Yeah. Like, Jesus Christ, no one's getting laid in the comic scene, but no, I think I get into a lot, and those bitches put me to shame. They have the horror stories. So I don't know if it'd be cool of me to share some of their, yeah, stories, especially the ones that have firsthand knowledge of. But my God. So I'll keep this as anonymous as possible. Like, I don't have a specific story, but I'll just say this. This individual is a very, very close friend of mine. I love this bitch. I will go to war with her, but she is one of the hottest messes I have ever seen in my life. Someone who willfully prostitutes themselves as a busted trans woman who chronically smokes meth. And when I mean chronically, I mean multiple times a day, as if you're just like having a cigarette. Like, this woman gets into the most fucked up shenanigans I have ever heard of. And her relationship is toxic as hell with her other busted ass trans woman girlfriend. Holy shit, I can't even count how many times they've broken up. I've had to listen to their shit, or like my friend's shit, and then they're back together. And there's like Munchausen syndrome involved, and psychological warfare, and drugs, and prostitution. And it's, but I can't share all these stories. I'm giving you the highlights of this world, like this nether world, this tranny prostitute meth smoking nether world that I am adjacent to. It's fucking insane.
And on a side note then, have you, when you're on dating sites, do you, mm-hmm, when do you feel you have to, or do you feel you have to tell them that you've transitioned?
Oh, I openly state that I'm trans on all the dating profiles that I'm on, just so there's no ambiguity. You know, if someone doesn't like me, they cannot like me. Let that be the reason. Cause I understand, you know, being trans is kind of a deal breaker for a lot of guys, especially if I'm post-op. But, you know, I'm not here to like trick anyone. I have my own agenda. I always find it so amusing when guys are like, oh, I would never have sex with you cause you're trans. I'm like, I would never have sex with you cause you're fucking busted. Like, what makes you think that you have the power in this dynamic? Like,
oh, I know I've said it before, but I've had like a lot of guys write to me and be like, oh, you know, you don't have an arse, you have a small arse, and I'm like, you look like you walked out of of a, like a swamp, and it's like, and it's totally fine that they look like that, but who do you think you are to comment on my appearance?
Right. And these are the same butthurt losers who are like, oh, I can't, you know, just because I'm not like jacked or anything, like the girls only want like really, you know, blah blah blah. Like, you know, looking a certain way requires work. No one's just born that way. Like, even people who are really fit and healthy and have, like, that's a lifestyle. That is a fucking dietary, you know, spending X amount of hours per week doing this activity fucking lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And some people just like, well, they don't want to put in any kind of work towards their appearance, whatever they want to get done, you know? And
that's fine. And it's like, yeah. And it's, I think there's more expectation on women to like have a specific look or look a certain way, and it's like, you know, my boyfriend's not ripped and I'm like fine with that. You know, I don't expect him, and he doesn't expect me to have big fat arse. I mean, if I wanted to have a fat arse, I would have to get up at like 6 a.m every day on top of everything else I do, so it's like impossible. But I just always find it funny that people could make that comment. But that's just, I guess, a society thing.
It's a society thing. It's also like an internet thing where, you know, everything is depersonalized. So of course some jagoff who's never going to have to face any kind of face-to-face interaction can just like freely state their opinions because there's no consequence. So, yeah. You know, I try not to take anything online seriously.
Yeah. I actually had a guy, didn't I? I was at Owen Hustle. Mm-hmm. And he was like this really old, and like, look, he was unattractive, and I'm not trying to like ugly shame him, but he was also very old, and he was like creeping on me, and I was like, no, thank you. And then when I was outside, he grabbed me and sort of dry humped me, and I got so mad, I was shouting at him, and there was Jared Schwartz was there, that comedian, and he was like, he was like pulling me back, he was like, that guy could be crazy, but I was like, I was just so offended, because I was like, how do you, even if this was like a regular, I'm never going to date you.
Right. I mean, wait, the fact you said that he was drunk though, right?
He was some drunk old fella.
Oh God. I mean, yeah, I'm not dismissing anything about that guy, but he sounded like the only reason he did it was because he could get away with it. Like, I'm sure he was like physically bigger than you. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the saying, like, no one ever picked a fight they thought they were going to lose?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think that's like a major component in like how men approach women, because it's like they can say these things, but there's no immediate repercussion. I have a much more different problem where I'm like, I'm fucking 6'2" and I actually scare men away. Like no one fucks with me. I was at a show on Sunday, and there was a guy there, like this drunk Russian old man, he was like, he kind of looked like my dad actually, but he was like drunk, and he like just went like, oh, he saw me enter the room or whatever, and he wanted to like say hello, and he like tried to put his hand on the small of my back. I was bigger than this guy, and I just kind of like jerked away and looked at him, and he was like, okay, done, you got me, hand, you know, no harm here. And he never fucked with me again. Well, he talked when I was on stage, but no, it's a lot of the times I think a guy only does things because they're thinking of like, can I get away with this?
Yeah. I want to ask you as well, what was, you had a story on stage when we did the Our Wicked Lady about the BDSM guy.
BDSM. Oh, wait. I mean, there's a couple of those stories. I did get into, I've been to like a sex dungeon, but that wasn't necessarily BDSM. I did do 50 Shades of Grey shit with like this tech CEO a couple of weeks ago. That was actually pretty fun. He lived on like the 65th floor of like this high rise with like one of the best views of the city I've ever seen. Fucking rich as shit. He did fuck the hell out of me. It was great.
How did you meet him?
Tinder.
Oh, and is he right and says like, oh, I want to do 50 Shades of Grey stuff? And you're like, cool.
No, that's just my little spin on it. He just wanted to get in like harder S&M stuff. I have not heard back from him. So I think it was a one-time thing. But yeah, he was just like into, you know, dominance play. He choked me out a little bit. He strapped me to the bed, which I always thought was so, you know, it's cute. It's a nice idea, but without like an actual spreader bar, I can still close everything up. Yeah, just like a lot of power dynamics, but yeah, he fucked me up against the window, which was scary because it's on the 65th floor and it's just glass and I'm looking down at the fucking street and I'm getting railed and I'm like, oh God. But, you know, that's part of the fun. It's all part of the getting the adrenaline running, you know?
That's wild. But there was a story where you said a guy wanted you to be like Jesus Christ or something.
Oh, the crucifix. Yeah, that guy. That was only, like, that never actually happened and took place. It was a conversation that I had with the guy, though. But he wanted to get into that, which was just, it was gross. I mean, the fact that he wanted to, you know, cosplay Jesus stuff, that part I didn't care about. That's fine. That's your kink, whatever. Make it hurt. That's fine. The thing that grossed me out the most was that he wanted me, when I came, he wanted me to say, "Father, I release my essence." And it was like the whole fetishization of like me coming, which I guarantee you he would not be able to do, but he wanted me to like fucking shoot wads of cum at him. And for the record, I haven't done that for years because of the hormones. Like, I don't do that at all. Like, it's pretty inept as a cock, but you know, I can still use it, just not very well, which is fine because I'm getting rid of it. So
that's insane. So he wanted to tie you up on a cross and have you say, "Father, really?" He wasn't like a Irish American, was he?
No, Italian. Okay. Or something like that. He was very swarthy.
Oh geez. And so you were saying the hormones have stopped you from, I'm having a delayed reaction, but when you said about the hormones originally, you were doing them for years by yourself and then you went to a proper doctor. Who are you getting the hormones off before the doctor?
Oh, this sketchy ass online pharmacy that's based out of a island nation. I forgot what it's called. It's like on the website, it's not .com, it's .vu. I don't even know what fucking country that is. But I think it was running through some sort of Chinese distributor in China, and they would just like ship meds out. So I got, you know, estrogen and spironolactone through that.
Wow. You had a success story, because that could have went wrong.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Been
really fucked up. And I did that for 5 years. So
lucky. Jesus. And when you went to the actual doctor, what did they say about you taking the kind of online? You didn't tell them?
Oh, I told them, but they were just like, "Well, good thing you're establishing care now." Like, they're not going to shame me. I also went to an LGBTQ health center that like caters specifically to like, you know, homeless populations, HIV positive populations, people, you know, financially destitute populations. So it's like, yeah, I've heard it all. They didn't fucking care. Like, that's nothing to them. So, and again, they weren't going to like shame me. They're just like, "Okay, well, let's get your levels measured and stuff like that or whatever and get you on a proper dose."
And what did you notice the difference between what you were taking before towards what they started giving you? Was there a difference?
Oh yeah, it was a much more like fuller dose, because I was like low dosing before, where I would only take like maybe 2 milligrams a day of estrogen. Now I was like taking 4 milligrams a day, or like taking it, you know, I was just slowly building it up.
Yeah.
The place that I'm going to now for health, what's cool is like they'll draw my blood, they'll send it off to a lab, I'll get like a battery of tests done, and I have an app, you know, through the health center, then I can actually see my levels, and it actually has reference levels too of like, okay, if you're this age, a typical, you know, parts per million reading of estrogen in your blood would be like this much. If you're in your second trimester, you should be like at this range. And I've been at like super fucking high levels for years, so I don't know, I think I've been holding it down pretty well.
Yeah. Because I didn't even like taking the pill. It was just it was too high. The estrogen, I guess, was like making me cry all the time, so I've never gone back on it. But I imagine that if I were to commit to it, I would have to commit to all these different trial and errors, so I can't even imagine what you had to do.
It wasn't that bad. Again, like, it's what I feel comfortable with. Again, I went to a place where they were very used to being like, "Okay, just do what's in your normal range. I don't recommend it, but like, we'll try this out and we'll see how it goes." You know, it's a trial by, you know, just trial by basis.
And is it expensive, all this stuff?
Hella. You know, transitioning is like hella fucking expensive. Like, if you don't have health, because this is like, again, well, there's like socially transitioning. I know plenty of girls who don't do anything else like medically, and they just like, "Okay, you know, I just feel this way. I don't necessarily need to go on hormones or have surgery done. I just want to like grow my hair out and be kind of feminine like that. Still call me a girl." Fine. That's them. do whatever you want, fine. I'm definitely going through like a medical route. If you're doing that, especially in the United States of America, it is fucking expensive. Let's not even like forget about like cosmetic shit. If you wanted to do that, like, oh, redo your whole fucking wardrobe, get a whole bunch of new expensive makeup, get into skincare, like starting from scratch kind of stuff. That alone is incredibly daunting and expensive. But then going through like a medical transition, Christ, I can't even imagine what it'd be like if you lived in a state where these services did not exist and you'd have to like partition 6 hours a day for driving to go to go a couple hundred miles down the road in whatever fucking state you're in to go to see the one doctor in the entire fucking place that will actually treat you. But that being said, this is New York. It's kind of tranny central. I know a million. I work for an organization that deals with trans women all the fucking time. So the resources exist, but it still becomes a money game. You know, if you have health insurance, paying out of your deductible, what if someone doesn't take health insurance at all? Like, I had a doctor who, you know, a plastic surgeon, do reconstructive surgery on my face that did not take any form of insurance. So I paid out of pocket. The first round was $25,000. I raised that money in 5 months doing everything short of sex work. It took me a bonus and a severance package that was supposed to last me 3 months that all went into the fund, begged my parents for money, had a GoFundMe campaign, just worked. It was mind numbing. And that was just the first round that I did. I've also had like a second round, heavily discounted, but you know, it was still a couple thousand dollars there. I had body contouring done in February. That was about $9,000. So
what is body contouring?
It's BBL kind of stuff. I wanted a more defined waist and a bigger ass and hips. So I had a doctor lipo all the fat out of my torso, and there wasn't much. So he was like super aggressive, like every single fucking spot, like in my back, lower back, stomach, everywhere. And then he injected it all into my butt. Unfortunately, there wasn't enough for like my hips. So I still have hip dips and I'm working on that. But yeah, it's just like redoing your body.
And then when they do so bottom is the penis into vagina, is it?
Right. So the process is called, like, you know, scientifically or medically, vaginoplasty. Oh. Yeah, but like, you know, bottom surgery, just nicer, quicker. You can also say GCS, gender confirmation surgery, SRS, sex reassignment surgery. I don't really care which is like the PC term. It's just like, yeah, bottom surgery, whatever. Yeah, that's coming up. And I have really, really good health insurance because I'm union, and it's everything that I'm getting done is covered in my plan. So I'm not paying anything.
Okay. And this is me being very not having a clue. What do they do? They're going to make your penis into a clitoris. Is this me being really dumb?
No. It's not dumb at all. First off, there was like never. Okay. What do I want to say? There are different techniques. There's something called a peritoneal pull through. There's a sigmoid colon something or other method. There's something known as the Suporn method, SUPORN, which is named after a Thai doctor, Dr. Suporn, who like pioneered this technique. There are all kinds of different ways on how to reconstruct the material down there. If you live in New York City and you're going to a hospital system like I am, they're only going to do one type of method because it's the tried and true standardized, we know what to expect with results, this is what we do kind of method. They're not going to like fucking experiment unless you have something horribly fucked up with you. That being said, I'm doing something, and I'm not going to be 100%. To answer your question, yes, like the head of my dick is going to become like the new clitoris, my new clitoris, just with like the particular method that I think the hospital that I'm going to is going to do. As far as the hows, I've seen a 3D GIF that kind of shows, like, you know, in crude terms, like, okay, we're going to pull the skin back, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, da 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 da. Very graphic, very hard to watch. But like, it just kind of lays the process all down. And it's pretty interesting. Like I used to study, I've studied a lot. I'm a double major in STEM field, science, technology, engineering, math. I've seen so much. I've forgotten more about like human development than like most people know about science in general. It's really interesting when you study natal development and differentiations, the physical differentiations in sex as you're developing in the womb from like, you know, 2 weeks to 3 weeks to 4 weeks, like what structures are forming, how they form, and what genes are being turned on and turned off. And oddly enough, the development of male genitalia and female genitalia, pretty fucking similar. It's they're very similar. Just like, and this, what I'm about to say now, I am not sure this is 100% true. I am 90% sure this is fucking true, but I'm pretty sure every human being on Earth, regardless of sex, carries the gene to the DNA, the fucking blueprint to develop either sex, maybe just like female genitalia, maybe just male genitalia, but they all have like the exact same fucking blueprint. It's just a matter of which developmental genes are turned on at what state versus which are not. I believe that's the case. Not 100% sure. Point being, yes, anatomy, they're surprisingly similar. And it's just a matter of reconstructing it. So the more material they have to work with, the better for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard that before, that what you said. I've also, and there's also people who are born with both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. No, it's there's a lot of fluidity between that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Studying like shit that naturally happens in the real world is fucking wild. We're not all that different.
Yeah. Well, no, that's great to know. And I'm excited for you.
Yeah, it's going to be wild.
And 3 months isn't that long of a recovery. That's like,
but it's going to be really intense. It's going to be intense. Like I have to dilate like several times a day. I have to be on a dilation schedule and they're going to give me like dilators with like different gauges of thickness. And I got to like, you know, sit for 40 or lay down for 45 minutes. And it's like, here's my stretch out time. And I got to do that consistently. For at least a year. I don't know for how long, but you know, the schedule changes and shit.
Have they told you about sexual pleasure as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, I also have like a lot of friends. So like during my consultation, it was pretty quick. I'm going to have another orientation when I'm about 3 months out from surgery date. But like my friend is getting surgery in like 60 days at the end of September. She's going to the same doctor that I'm going to. So I hear a lot of secondhand information. I know a lot about this stuff. My understanding is I fucked a post-op pussy before too. I have penetrated one. It's a vagina. It's a fucking vagina. That's all I can say about it. Yeah. You don't have a uterus. So, but it's a goddamn sex organ. Works exactly the same way. Pleasure's the same way. It's pretty indistinguishable. There's definitely this kind of thought in pop, you know, at least in the popular culture, that it's like this hatchet wound or like this big fucking mess. No, it's a vagina, you know. It's the same medical techniques. It's like, oh, you think I'm pretty? Well, we know the science behind that. You like my tits? We know the science behind that. You like this pussy? Know the science behind that. Like, we know how to make this shit.
But the pleasure for you, I mean, so let's say for me, it took me like a really long time to figure out my clitoris, and I don't orgasm through penetration. And so have they told you how they're going to link up your like pleasure? I don't even know what we get pleasure from.
It's psychological, you know. That's what I've always been told or learned, even before the whole, you know, trans issues. Put that aside. That's all I've ever heard, is that like, you know, your brain is the biggest sex organ. I mean, the reason why I don't come during sex currently is because like there's a huge disconnect between what is physically there and what I imagine going on in my head. Like the only way I actually come when I masturbate is imagining getting fucked in my vagina. Like that's the only way I can mentally reach there. So even if like I'm with someone who I think is like super sexy and like hot, and they're doing as much kind of, you know, outside shit that I like, you know, pulling my hair or like calling me a bitch, then even if they're hitting all those buttons, there's going to be a disconnect between, you know, getting railed in my ass and getting, you know, jacked off versus like what is appropriate in my brain. So specifically with what you're describing as your problem, I sound psychological to me. I don't think you have like a physical disconnect between like your pussy nerve, the nerves in your vagina and your brain. Like, I don't think there's like some kind of nerve blocker going on. It sounds, again, psychological. And for me, well, I can't. Oh, yes.
Well, a lot of like there's like some sort of statistic that a lot of women will only come via clitoris stimulation. Mm-hmm. So will they put the nerves so that you can like rub a clitoris as well?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, so
that's great.
It's all so I mean like more the exact same.
Yeah, I mean more like technical.
Oh yeah, no, it's all going to be the exact same. It's just reconstructed in the shape of, you know, outer labia, majora, your clitoris, all that stuff.
And they'll put all the nerves there. That's really exciting. I'm excited mm-hmm. for you to rub your clit. It's the best.
Yeah, I cannot fucking wait. Oh, I can't wait to like put on underwear and look in the mirror and just be flat and aww. Just like that's going to be, I cannot fucking wait for that. I am so stoked for that.
Well, I'm so excited for you. This is great.
Thank you.
There was another question a listener messaged in. This is the listener who actually asked me to have you on as a guest, and I asked them, do they have any questions, and they actually asked about hair. They said, do you wear wigs or is it your natural hair?
This is my natural hair.
Never had to wear wigs?
I've never had to wear wigs. Just like everyone is dealt a hand. This is the hand mm-hmm. I was played. I had a Jufro. I've always had very, very thick hair. So no, I've never had to worry about it. I've had friends who have like fairly thin hair or started transitioning while they were like actually going bald, which is horrifying. But that was just not something that I've ever had to deal with.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. This person is struggling a bit with the wigs. So, but I actually do know someone. I'm actually going to put them in contact with Riley Lassen because she wears wigs because she has ovary cyst disorder. I can't remember. Yeah. So I can actually just put them in contact with her because she is a big advocate for wigs. So that yeah. I was kind of thinking that if you weren't able to answer the question, I was like, oh, well, I'll ask Riley.
Yeah. Ask a wig expert.
yeah. Let me see. I want to make sure I ask all my questions. I did. This was absolutely brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on. And we did about 45 minutes. I'm sweating. My boobs are sweating.
No, thank you for having me. Is there anything else you wanted to know about? Like, I guess this is like your token trans episode. Any more like dating shit? Because yeah, I don't know. I guess I have some stories.
Do you have any other stories?
Like a couple of vignettes. Like this one time, well, first off, I blew a cop in his squad car in the middle of the day in the financial district. Like people were walking around us, like going to lunch. This is like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, like in downtown Manhattan. Just the windows were super tinted. And yeah, I blew a cop in a squad car.
How did you meet the cop?
That one was through Grindr. That one was dirty. And I was at work at the time. Like I worked downtown. So I was like, you know, I was talking to him for a little bit and he was like, hey, maybe I can drop down and we can, you know, drive around and find a corner or something like that. And I've actually left on my lunch break at that job, at my jobs, plural, several times, more than I'm care to remember at the moment. But point being, so we just kind of like navigated it. It was like, there's your car. So yeah, we went down to like Gold Street, like all like the cobblestone roads that are down there because they're all super old and shit. But like, yeah, people were constantly walking by us because they were going to lunch or going back from lunch. It was actually really hot. He was listening to country music and had like an empty can of Skull on the fucking floor. And that is like we all have a type. My type is people who I think are dumb, but like in a manly way. And I was like, oh, this is so dirty. I'm like kind of getting off on it. So that was kind of fun. I did a lot of skanky shit, quite honestly.
Well, did you see him again?
Never. Most of the people that I hook up with, I never see again.
And you don't want to, or
No, I don't want to see fucking, you know, officer blowjob. No, he's garbage.
And you feel safe.
I'm 6'2". I don't fear for my physical safety.
I would not feel safe. I would not be able to enjoy myself because I'd be like, plus police kind of scare me in general.
Oh yeah, no, I don't really like cops at all. Again, I was kind of getting off on the scumbag factor of it.
Did anybody see in the window?
No, it was tinted. And even if they did, what are they going to do? It was a cop car. Hey, wait a minute. I did that. Okay, so this is a good one. Another time I left work at 10:30 in the morning, I met up with this guy at the JCPenney at, not Bryant Park, Herald Square. You know, the Herald Square area, they have the mall there and there's like a fucking JCPenney there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I had sex with some dude in the bathroom of JCPenney at like 10:30 in the morning. He was garbage. He was like this Australian dude, but he was like jacked and I was kind of into it. He's just like, just meet me here. I think we were meeting halfway again, specifically to do hoe bag shit, which was fine. That was the mission. I'm going to do some fucking skanky ass hoe shit. Fine. He was about to fuck me raw. Like he was a stranger. I'm like, dude, like you need to wrap it up. And like, cause I always have condoms in my bag. Cause you never know. Yeah. So he was going at it. It was pretty fun. Someone came into the bathroom, like this middle-aged Honduran guy, and the guy that I was fucking just bolted. Like he completely abandoned me in the stall. And I was like, what the fuck? I was like, all right, time to own this up, you know, hike down my, you know, pull down my dress. I kind of got my hair together. I walked out of the bathroom stall and this Honduran dude's just like eyes bugged open, grinning, because he fucking knew what was going on. And I was like, yo, and I'm trying to catch up with this guy. I was like, hey, well, thanks for being such a gentleman, you piece of shit. I don't remember what happened immediately after that. Point being, a couple of days later, I was hanging out with a friend of mine. Again, the trans friend that I keep referencing, the meth smoker. Her friend is a streetwalker, like this sassy Puerto Rican chick who's been doing it since she's like 15 and living on the streets as like a trans prostitute, like hardcore kind of shit, like super hardcore. I meet up with them. I told them that story. And then all of a sudden her friend is like, was he Australian? I was like, yeah. And she's like, we just became Eskimo sisters. Like he ended up fucking her that day at 8:30 in the morning. We went through our text records. And when we were messaging this guy, he fucked her, I guess, you know, paid for it or whatever. I should have fucking paid for it or gotten paid for it. But like 8:30 in the morning, did it with her, contacted me, did it with me. God fucking knows what he got into. He'd already fucked like two random ass trans women. It wasn't even 11 o'clock in the morning. Like that guy gets around.
How did he meet you? Was that on Grindr as well or Tinder?
Yeah, again, it's just like a hookup app. It's just skeevy shit. It's a fucking blowjob hole in a stall. Like it's not, I'm not looking for romance when I do that shit.
And you like that? I would like be afraid that I wouldn't be attracted to them. A lot of time when I meet guys off apps, I'm not attracted to them when I see them. So, but how do you know you'll be attracted? Oh, you'll just walk away.
I'll just walk away. Like again, what are the fuck? What are they gonna do? Sorry, yeah. I've been catfished before. Like I met up with some guy was going to meet me at a movie theater and didn't look anything like his pictures. I told him I was 6'2". I like tall people. He came up to like my tits. He was short and kind of nerdy. And I was like, dude, I just waited an hour for you, like a little over an hour. He's like, yeah, like, you look nothing like your picture. He's like, yeah, I know. I was like, go fuck yourself. And I just left. Like that was the whole interaction. I was just pissed at him for like wasting my time.
Yeah. But
yeah. Again, I do not fear men really. So I just kind of do whatever I want.
Yeah. Well, I fear them.
I do not blame you. I definitely acknowledge that I'm coming from like a very privileged and like different place than most women, but it is what it is. What can I say?
I was Googling yesterday, and it was something like I can't remember the statistic, but like majority of women die at the hand of like a man that they know. I was like, Jesus, men, stop killing us, for God's sake.
Yeah, it's, men are scum. Men are really, really bad people.
Have you ever had like a physical alteration where you've had to like protect yourself?
No. Well, the only time, and I wasn't even dating this guy, the only time, especially since I've transitioned, that like someone put hands on me was I was hanging out with a gay friend of mine, super gay. I hadn't seen him for a couple of years. We were in a fight. We kind of made up, go over to his place. He's like, hey, do you want to do some coke? Okay, I will do cocaine with you. That's fine. I've done it multiple times with you. It's not a big deal. He's got a boyfriend that I didn't know about, this dude named Robert. Robert is drunk trailer park trash, like, and a drag queen too, like a super flamboyant, queenie, piece of shit, drunken trailer park trash drag queen. Apparently they had some kind of like disagreement, like, oh, you're not going to do coke. Well, you're not going to drink. Well, since he did blow, Robert drank and he got super fucking drunk and marched on over to kind of come confront us. Robert was also 6'3". I mentioned that because, again, my height is a physical deterrent, not with trailer park trash, not with drunken rage trailer park trash, who was just as tall as me. So he thought me and my friend who's gay were fucking. So he was marching down the street. We were on the stoop. He was smoking a cigarette. Robert comes marching down the street. He's like, get the fuck up. I'm going to fucking kill you. And he's talking to me. Like, I literally did not do a thing. He thought we were banging. So he like put his hands on me. He's like trying to shove me and stuff like that. And it's the first time like all those dude instincts that I learned as a kid kind of kicked in. I'm like, okay, we're at DEFCON 4 right now. Do not escalate the situation, but I'm on watch right now. I have to like, you know, bring down the pressure however I could, and but not let this guy like bowl me over. So it was a very quick interaction, like a little fumble rooski on the stoop, trying to get into the door, telling me I can't get in, whatever. Me and my friend just go for a walk while Robert continued to get drunk, break some glass, had the cops called on him, went to the hospital that night. Like, it was a bad scene. But that was the only fucking time I've ever felt like physically in danger. Other than that, it's just like dudes being creepy.
Yeah. I actually did think of a last question I want to ask you before you go. When did you, like, how old were you when you started to think, oh, was it always you always thought I'm a woman, or was there a point where you thought that this is an option that you were like, oh, I didn't know I could, I didn't know about transitioning, I think, until I was in my teens.
I remember I've had thoughts of like gender variance, however you want to like phrase that, like ancient memories when I'm like 3 or 4 years old. I've had it like my whole fucking life. But like the words when I was a child did not exist.
Yeah.
And also the caricature, what was portrayed in the media was not good. It's still not good. Where, you know, you have like the classic example is Ace Ventura with, you know, Lois Einhorn, which literally means one horn. What the fuck do you think she's referencing when she got outed? She was like a psychopath, like who transitioned on a whim. And when that is the truth presented to you at, you want desperately for that not to be the case with you. So I just buried every kind of feeling. I thought every guy wondered what it was like to have a vagina. I didn't think like there was anything unique about me, like going, oh, it'd be kind of cool to be a girl. But I would never fucking say that because like from a very young age, you're told to socialize a certain way. And I couldn't socialize a certain way. I was suicidal up until I was about like 10, and I got a dog. And that kind of gave me purpose. You know, my family got a dog and I loved that dog and continued on and, you know, developed some semblance of a personality. But like that was all out of necessity. No, I knew for a very, very, very long time. It wasn't until, well, I met my first trans woman when I was 10, and you know, my father actually showed it to me. Like, he worked at a radio station. This also worked at a radio station, blah, blah, blah. Does not matter. Point being, this woman looked like a dude. She had small tits, long hair, very dude like. Other than that, she looked like a fucking man. And I just remember like being horrified at that image and just like having like a gut visceral reaction, like, this is not, no, that's not, I don't want this to be the reality. That was the first trans woman I met, and I always like pushed those thoughts aside. I would do drag and shit like that as a joke because I was already like a comic when I was like 19, or doing stand-up since I was 19. So when I was in college, like, yo, yeah, I'm gonna do drag, ha ha ha, isn't it funny. Always using that as an excuse. I met a friend of mine who at the time, this was like 10 years ago, I've known her for like fucking 10 years. I met her on OkCupid of all things, but she lived in LA. And at the time, I think she was like kind of non-binary. Like she had been dressing femininely since she was 5. Like that's how in the weeds she's been. Like she's never really been like socialized as a dude. So like she was already at that stage, like fucking gorgeous. And I was obsessed with her for many, many, many years. And then she came out as trans, started medically transitioning. And I was like, what the fuck? And it wasn't until 2017 when I did the main comedy festival and I met the host of both shows, Jay McBride, who just got Just for Laughs. She's like one of three trans comics who are like the first ones to get on New Faces at Just for Laughs this year, which I think happened yesterday. Yeah, I met her and it was like this thing clicked in my mind where it's like, you can be a comedian and you can be trans. Like it's fine. And I was like, that's what kind of like pushed my brain to like seriously consider, is this an option? Is this the truth? Is this my fucking truth? And then like after a week of thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, God fucking damn it, it's the truth, motherfucker. And then the new chapter began. That's when it all started.
Oh, that's amazing. I'm glad you met Jay. She's amazing.
Oh yeah, she's great. I fucking love her.
Yeah, no, that's the, so even because, you know, I know that the thing is that people will say like that's how you always feel, but I it's great to hear when you're able to articulate those feelings, because it's so hard if you're a kid and you're being told you're something,
right? Again, it wasn't even a possibility when I was like 4, 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. Like that was never presented as an option. Yeah, no, I always think like, I wonder what my life would have been if like I knew, and I was in a supporting environment. I knew when I was 7, I asked my mother when I was 7 to see a psychiatrist because I knew something was wrong with me. Didn't have the words for it. She was afraid of the social stigma that came along with needing a mental health provider. So she didn't take me. So the problem festered. But at the same time, even if like my mother and father were supportive and I could have gotten like trans care in the 90s, Jesus Christ, I would have been fucking murdered. I'm sure someone would have killed me. Because yeah, it was just like not fucking cool back then.
Yeah, times have really come on a lot. And what would you, if they're, you know, so let's say with young people now, we want to transition, would you suggest that they wait till a certain age?
I mean, there's too many different factors to say definitively yes, wait, or no, go, you know, yeah, fucking sit, do this immediately. Whether or not you're in a supportive environment, or you think you're going to be in a supportive environment, whether or not you think, you know, that goes with like family, that goes with the state, getting medical treatment, your family, your friends. If you're in an unsupportive environment, you know, you kind of have to wait until you're financially independent from your rest of your family and you don't need to rely on them for anything, because you might have to lop off that part of your life forever before you can actually start transitioning. But other than that, I can only say I wish I knew, and that the social infrastructure existed to successfully transition, because a lot of the surgery that I'm doing now and a lot of the cosmetic stuff that I'm going through right now, blah, 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 with the reconstruction of my face and all that kind of shit, those are, and getting rid of facial hair and all that crap, those are secondary sex characteristics that develop during puberty that I would have had loved to have completely skipped over instead of having to backtrack and erase and correct, you know. It's different for everybody, that's all I can say, but those are a lot of the factors that like come into play with this shit. Yeah. And yeah, it's a real shit show.
Well, thank you for being on the podcast, you're amazing.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, I know this is I'm always answering trans questions, it's fine.
Where can people find you?
Just my social media. I haven't been really performing much these days. I really need to get back onto it. Unfortunately, I don't think I can really do that until I'm like done with my surgery in a year. But you can find me online, Instagram, Margot Agogo.
Okay, thanks again for listening to the episode. Please again follow Margot on social media. Also, again, Patreon is patreon.com/theshiftpodcast. And if you have any stories, advice, or anything, especially about the topic therapy for next week, let me know. But other than that, have a lovely week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.